Scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. We'll begin with verse 23 and read through verse 27. That's on page 905 if you're using the Pew Bible. Beginning with the 23rd verse, reading to through the 27th verse. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, but also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see who it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. Thus we've read John chapter 19, verse 23 through 27. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we do acknowledge that this is your holy word, that you have inspired it, and it is for our teaching and correcting and rebuking and training in righteousness, Lord. So we ask that you would do that with your holy word this morning, and that you would hide it in our hearts, that it would bear fruit in our lives. We ask that you would be with the proclamation of your word, and that your name would be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at the final words of Christ on the cross, and we have heard him give us that word of forgiveness. And we have seen him give us words of an assurance of our eternal destination and salvation about being with him in paradise. And here we come to the words, "Woman, behold your son, and behold your mother." And while these words show us a great many things, they assure us ultimately of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of how even on the cross, the Lord Jesus is fulfilling the commandments up to His very last breath. Those commandments that we read earlier in the service, especially here, the fifth commandment, we see Him still fulfilling, still following. Notice that He does say here in verse 26, "Woman, behold your son." And in today's world, we often will get upset at the idea of calling your mother woman. If you were to do that today, it probably would be considered disrespectful. But it was not a disrespectful form of address back then. This is not Jesus acting as if he's Ralph from the Honeymooners. But it was a common way to speak. In fact, it's not the only time we see Jesus use this form of address. He uses it earlier in John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana. And in fact, it can be seen that Jesus here is even caring for her more by refraining from using the more familiar terms such as mother to help Mary during this great hour of suffering for her as well. To help remind her of Jesus' divine nature so that she will see Jesus being crucified as her Lord and not just as her son. Because he did come to earth for this very purpose, to hang upon the cross as we see him doing here for us. He uses the more generic but respectful form of address, being kind to Mary to help ease her suffering and pointing out that he is here for this very purpose. But as he hangs on this cross and as he suffers, he is still thinking of the fifth commandment He is still making sure that his mother Mary is going to be taken care of after he dies here on the cross, and ultimately after he ascends into heaven as well. He knows that he will not be on earth, and that Mary will be on earth longer than he is, and will need someone to care for her in her old age. And so he follows the fifth commandment and calls to John and says to Mary, "Look at John, he is now your son. John, look at Mary, she is now your mother. Care for her as if she were." And notice we are specifically told that John does. He takes her into his home and treats her as his own mother from that very hour. Jesus shows us here that the fifth commandment exists not just while you live under the roof of your parents. It's not just something that applies to you while you're living at home, and that once you're out on your own, you can jettison the fifth commandment and forget about your parents. It's a commandment that extends all the days of your life, and Jesus here is still keeping this commandment, even though he's probably in his 30s and he's dying on the cross. It doesn't matter that earlier in his ministry that Mary is with his brothers trying to talk him out of his work as Messiah. It doesn't matter what else is going on. Jesus has a responsibility to his mother, and here he fulfills that responsibility to make sure she's taken care of, to make sure she's provided for, to make sure she has comfort even after she's gone. And so he gets John, the believing disciple, to say, "Be to Mary as a son who is going to need you in these next hours." And he does. Sometimes there are people that will try to create conflicts between the commandments, as if keeping one means we can forget others. But Jesus here is able to glorify and obey God the Father by going to the cross, as well as honoring his father and mother and taking care of Mary. There will be those who will always pretend that maybe sometimes when I obey and follow God, I can forget about loving my neighbor, or forget about honoring my parents, or forget about those other commandments. And you'll have some that'll go the other way. I can love my neighbor, and that can just allow me to forget about loving the Lord. You will find some who are claiming, "Well, I'm helping people, and thus I can't go to church. I don't need to go worship the Lord. I can't find time to read the Word of God because I'm so busy being kind to my neighbors." They're all about going about along and fulfilling love thy neighbor, but they think that means that they don't have to love the Lord as well, as if there's some sort of conflict that both can't be done. But the commandments of God do not conflict with one another. Love thy neighbor is compatible with love the Lord your God. And you will also find people who will say, "Obeying the love of God allows me to neglect my neighbor." In fact, the Pharisees tried this very thing in Mark chapter 7, verse 11. And Jesus rebuked them because they were not honoring their father and mother. They were saying, "Oh, all my things are Corban," which means it was dedicated to the temple. "I can't help out my parents because I've given all this stuff to God. And therefore, my parents just have to suffer. And they have to go without, and I'm not going to help them, and I'm not going to provide for them, and I'm not going to do the things that I ought to be doing. Because I'm loving God, and that's more important than loving my neighbor, or loving and honoring my parents." We see here Jesus not only rebukes the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7, but here at the end of his life, he shows us that the law of God is not against itself. That the Pharisees were misusing it all this time and teaching others to misuse it as well. That they were trying to get around the law of God and call themselves holy at the same time. But Jesus is obeying both the Father in heaven and caring for his mother on earth. The Pharisees stand for us always as an example of how to dishonor your parents, while Jesus shows us here the great example of honoring your parents and fulfilling the law completely. And Jesus here also, in the waning moments of His life, is still thinking of others. During all of this suffering, He's still obeying the law, even up to the very end. There's no time off because the pain is too bad, or He's close enough to death that He gets some free moments to do whatever He wants. We cannot ever set aside the laws of God, no matter what the circumstance. They are to be our guide through the good times and the bad, through life and through death. And Jesus here is fulfilling that law up to the very moment of His death, fulfilling every jot and tittle just as He said He was going to do, that He would leave nothing undone that needed to be done. And this word of, "Behold your mother," and "woman, behold your son," is showing us that Jesus is fulfilling the law. He is our righteousness. He leaves nothing undone. This is what He gives to us. His righteousness, as we give to Him our sins so that He might pay for it on the cross. This is the great exchange that gives us our great salvation. That Him who knew no sin became sin so that we who knew no righteousness could become the righteousness of God. And here we can see that Jesus is righteous. That He is fulfilling the law. That He is succeeding where we have failed. All the moments of His life, all the way up to the end. And during all this suffering, He is still thinking of what His mother might need, of what we might need, of what John can do. He's still thinking of others. He is not thinking of Himself, despite the fact that He's been whipped and beaten and spit upon and mocked and has a crown of thorns pressed into His head, that He's hanging on a cross, that He's struggling to breathe. He's still thinking about others. And He gives to John the care of his mother, John who is a cousin. And He tells him to view Mary as his mother and for Mary to view John as his son. For John now to be giving her the care and honor and love that is due to one's own mother. And John clearly agrees, because from that hour the disciple took her to his home. He wasted no time in carrying out the command of his Lord. Jesus here makes sure that they are there for one another when He passes away, thinking of what she needs and what would be a benefit to her. And He's also thinking of us. He does not let that pain and suffering of the cross make Him selfish. It does not turn His thoughts inward to focus only upon Himself. Remember, we know that He is on the cross because He is thinking of our salvation and on our need. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane where He asked if there was another way to save us, if He could not drink this cup, but there was not. And so He went through it. He knows that the only way for us to be saved from our sins is for Him to suffer all the way to death on the cross. He is the Lord God. At any moment He could have gotten off of this cross. At any moment in time He could have saved Himself. But He chose to save us instead. Fulfilling all righteousness all the way up to the point of death on the cross for us. These words then of the Lord Jesus should comfort us greatly so we can see that Jesus kept the law and fulfilled it completely on our behalf. That He did keep every jot and tittle and every moment of His life was in obedience to the law of God. that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who does love the Lord with his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and does love his neighbors as himself. Where that summary of the law condemns us, the Lord Jesus succeeds. Where we have failed to honor our father and mother, where we have failed to love our neighbor, where we have failed to love the Lord our God as we should, the Lord Jesus does not. The righteousness that God requires must be perfect throughout and entirely conformable to the divine law, and we find it here in Jesus Christ. Here is that righteousness. This word from the cross helps us know that Jesus is that righteousness. And that His complete righteousness now can be ours by faith. That while we know the poverty of our spirit and we hunger and thirst after righteousness, here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the wellspring of this righteousness. And that this obedience can be yours if only we accept such things with a believing heart, according to the Catechism. His eternal righteousness, His complete obedience, His holiness is given to us. That which we see being fulfilled here is now given to us so that we might be able on the last day to stand in the presence of the Father. To be accepted into His family and welcomed in because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ and He took our sin and paid it in full. Another thing this word reminds us of is it does show us and point to us the importance of relationships here on earth. That we are not created to go through this world by ourselves. That we are created to be in relationship with those around us. Jesus here is reminding us of the vital importance of having one another. For the Christian, there are always many, love one another, bear one another's burdens, all the one another commandments. Think about them all. And here Jesus is pointing out the importance of these relationships. He is still taking care of His mother who was in relationship with Him. He is now also saying, Mary, you need to now have that relationship with John. John, have that relationship with Mary so that you can help one another and bear one another's burdens. It's not okay, Mary, your job as mother is over and you can just go be on your own. No, she is given someone who can help her through the trials and the hardships that she is most certainly about to experience as she watches her son die on the cross. And John, who was beloved by the Son and clearly loved the Son, was able to give her the comfort that she needs. Another one who understands that Jesus was the Lord and Savior, the Christ. It's true, Jesus has other brothers who at this point probably don't believe the message. They will come to believe. Jesus appears to James afterwards. We learn in 1 Corinthians 15, James comes to believe, Judas comes to believe. But the last time we've seen them in the Gospels, they don't yet believe that Jesus is the Christ. Mary needs someone who does. And so Jesus looks down from the cross and says, John, this is your mother. Mary, this is your son. They can comfort each other in the Christian comfort of love. Because it was not good for them to be alone. It was not good for Mary to be alone. She had lost her husband. She was losing her eldest son. We are created to be in a world of relationships where we care for one another. Where we help one another. Jesus is pointing this out to us as well on the cross. As He assigns to John, Mary, and Mary to John. John, the disciple who outlives all the others. So that Mary would have someone for the rest of her natural life. In this wisdom, the Lord Jesus gives them to one another. So this word of the Lord Jesus Christ not only teaches us and reminds us of our duties to one another, but it does point us to the great hope that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His wisdom, in His loving kindness, in His graciousness, He cares for us. Just as we see Him care for Mary here on the cross. Just as we see Him care for John here on the cross. This word of the Lord Jesus Christ does assure us of our righteousness. It does remind us and call us to the importance of having one another in our life, that communion of the saints. But it also points to the great and unending love of the Lord Jesus. He is caring for Mary, not because He has to, not because it's a duty, not just because it's the law, but because He loves her. And we're specifically told that He loves John. This is the disciple whom Jesus loved. We're told over and over, this is not done out of some sense of responsibility or have to. This is done from the heart of God's love. And we can know that He loves us too. This is not to be read as, well, Jesus loved His mother Mary because she was His mother, and this is the disciple whom Jesus loved, the rest of the disciples that Jesus doesn't care so much about. That's not what John's saying. He wants us to see that He loves each and every one of us. That the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is a personal love, and John, every time he mentions himself this way, I am the one who God loves. Not in a way to say God doesn't love the others, but to drive home the point that this is who He is now. The beloved of God. That's true for you as well. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can know that you are the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that His loving care and His kindness extends to you. And that He is looking out for you. Just as He looked out in love for Mary. Yes, there are going to be times where we don't understand it. And yes, there are going to be times where it's hard. This was one of those times for Mary, for sure. But ultimately, it was for her good as well. It was for her salvation that Jesus didn't get off the cross. It was for her salvation that Jesus died there. It was for her long-term good. And so when we face hardships, when we face trials, we can take comfort that while this might be hard and we might not understand it and this might be something that's beyond us, it's not beyond the love of our God. It's not beyond His wisdom. And He cares for you. And His loving kindness, He's watching over you. In His righteousness and in His perfection. He cares for His children. So that you can remind yourself that even though I may be going through hardships, I am a disciple whom Jesus loves. Who He cares for. Who He died for. So that I might know my eternal destination is ultimately, thanks to His righteousness, next to Him at the banquet feast in heaven. Let us now go to the Lord and thank Him for this love and care in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, may Your name be praised. For You do love us and You care for us. And You fulfilled the law for us. And You died on the cross for us. So that we might have life everlasting. Oh, gracious Lord. Help us see ourselves through the lens of Your love. Help us be able to see the events that go on in our life through the lens of Your great wisdom and love. Help us seek our comfort, not in the things of the earth, but in You. We thank You for the communion of the saints and that You have given us to one another so that we might be able to help each other, to bear one another's burdens, to show love to each other. Strengthen us, O Lord. Give us that great comfort that You have fulfilled Your law, that You have fulfilled Your word, that You have saved us from our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.